Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Melissa, it's Friday. It's episode 4. Hello. And where are you? I know where you are. Tell us.
Bonjour de Paris. Hello from Paris. Yeah.
Hello from Paris. Mm-hmm. Great French accent there. You're from Manitoba.
Yeah, exactly. I lived in Montreal. I went to University of Montreal for 4 years, so it should be better.
Okay.
I guess Quebecois is different than Parisian French.
There you go. So tell me, is it fabulous? What's it like?
It really is. I haven't been to Paris. The last time I was here was about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only brief. And I was here one more time when I was 18 backpacking. So this is the first time I've sort of done it with eyes more open. And now that I'm more worldly and older, and it's so beautiful. And also we're here in October. Like normally I've been here in the summer when it's high tourist season. And now it's less so, and it's just the architecture is so stunning. The food is so good. The restaurants are so buzzy. The weather's been great also, which is nice.
Oh, nice.
It's like a nice surprise. Yeah, so I've been able to do a lot of walking around.
That wallpaper looks stunning.
Yeah, it's so everywhere. The decor is just beautiful.
Oh, love it. Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it. Well, it's been gorgeous here in Toronto, which has been nice. But I'm co-hosting a conference in Canada, in Toronto, Capitalize for Kids. So it's an investment conference with really big time investors from the United States that come to Canada and talk a little bit about their process, their firm, their investment thoughts. And the whole idea is there's allocators there as well, allocators of capital, so pension funds, et cetera. And all the money, you know, that's raised goes towards children.
Okay, that makes sense. Because at first I was like, and they're talking to children about this? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, the money, I should have started with that. But yeah, so, you know, some really famous investors came up to Toronto for that. So I've been doing that for the past 2 days. Hence, I'm in a t-shirt again.
Okay. I'm in my, I don't know if you can see, I'm wearing this like sequin sweater with a little kilt, and I'm trying to dress all, you know, Emily in Paris, Melissa in Paris.
It looks gorgeous. It looks gorgeous. All right, let's get cracking here. What's new in health this week? Anything interesting?
So more good news for these GLP-1 agonist drugs, semaglutide. So a big study came out that looked retrospectively through about a million records of type 2 diabetics who were on semaglutide, which is Ozempic, versus other diabetes drugs. And what they found was that there was a significantly reduced risk of them developing Alzheimer's compared to diabetics that weren't on semaglutide. Yeah. So the question is, well, that's just it. I mean, is this purely from weight loss, or is there something neuroprotective about these medications that are helping reduce brain inflammation? And that's why they're really looking at these drugs now for other indications, potentially helping with neurodegenerative diseases.
My gosh.
So yeah, and it was like significant. I think it was 40 to 70% decreased risk of getting a diagnosis of Alzheimer's for the people that were on Ozempic versus the other diabetes drugs. So examples like insulin and metformin and the other sulfonylurea, the other categories of diabetes drugs. So they didn't say necessarily that, oh, well, this group had lower blood sugar levels. They didn't say anything like that. It was just the ones that were on semaglutide as part of their regimen versus the ones that weren't. I mean, you could look at other compounding factors, like the people that are getting semaglutide, which is a newer drug, maybe they have better access to care, better access to newer, more expensive drugs. I mean, there could be other factors at play, but I think there's also something for sure happening in terms of reducing inflammation in the brain that these drugs are bringing to the table. So now we're seeing cardiovascular benefits, brain benefits, in addition to helping with your blood sugar levels and weight. So I just, yeah,
Yeah. And
it's.
so I can't recall, where are we in owning any of these pharmaceutical stocks?
So, you
You and I.
know, okay, so I don't own the individual stock. Like, I don't own Eli Lilly and I don't own Novo Nordisk. However, like we talked about, I do own the ETF of, you know, the S&P 500, and Eli
The
Lilly
health,
is a
yeah,
part of that, isn't it? Isn't
right.
it one of the
Oh,
biggest
for
companies?
sure, for
Right. So
sure.
even so, that's what's good to understand with this also. Like, even if you don't own the individual stock, you still have exposure to them because they do make up these big companies that are in the broader index and in the S&P 500.
Yeah, that's
So,
actually a great, that's a great point, Melissa, because not everybody's going to want to do their homework on a specific pharmaceutical stock. And when you do, and we're going to talk a little bit about what does that even mean, doing your homework on it. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But yes, you can get exposure through just owning the market, owning the S&P 500. That would include that, or what have you. And or if you wanted to get, more exposure or higher return, you could also own a healthcare ETF. And there's various healthcare ETFs, ones that might have more pharmaceutical weightings, other ones might have more medical device weightings, ones that might have more biotech. So you can then drill down and own it via an ETF. You can do that. It's a great point. Great point.
What else did I see in health news that piqued my interest? Well, there was this whole McDonald's E. coli
Yes.
exposure in the US, so not in Canada, but linked to the Quarter Pounder
Yeah, my
and how
favorite.
I know I like the actually I'm more of a Big Mac girl, although not anymore. I have to say, you know, I think, you know, for a splurge, McDonald's, I mean, obviously it tastes great, but
Yeah.
I can't digest it anymore. I just can't do it.
Really?
Nope. No,
Isn't
there's
that?
something about the I woke up last time I had a Big Mac, I woke up in the middle of the night and had like heartburn, and I'm just like, and a bad taste in my mouth. I'm just like, you know what? Nope. Not even
Shelving
worth it.
it. You're shelving it.
Yeah, now I am regular. I mean, my kids still like it as a splurge for sure.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because so basically they were the one death, I think it was, and maybe
Yes.
50 sicknesses linked to E. coli. So E. coli is a bacteria that we normally have, humans and animals, in our intestines. However, there can be certain types of E. coli that can make us really sick when food or water is contaminated with it and we ingest it. And you can get, you know, bloody diarrhea, cramps, and dehydration, and ultimately, potentially, worst case scenario, death. And normally we think of E. coli, you know, 0157 from undercooked meat. So that's why we're always say you never would order a hamburger, you know, medium rare. Like you order a hamburger done because it has to be cooked well. So initially I thought, well, that's weird that it would be from the burger, but they actually think it was more likely from the onions that go on the burger being contaminated by wastewater that was contaminated with fecal matter. So gross. Yeah, because they don't heat them up. But anyhow, it's a very rare thing. And you have to think of all the hamburgers and all the fast food they serve. You know, this is just, you know, and I don't know. Does that move the McDonald's stock
Yeah,
something like
it
this?
did. It was down. It was down quite a bit the other day when this news came out.
And that's so interesting, right? Because for the whole company later on, like it's not going to affect its ultimate value. So I guess that would be for people that are trading on the daily, trying to make a bit of money in the chain, you know.
Well, and or it's somebody who, like I've been wanting to own McDonald's stock for quite some time, but I've always felt that the stock got away from me, and meaning it went too far too fast, and I didn't want to pay up for it. So I'm watching it because I want to maybe buy it. And or if you already own it and you see it's down 8% and you really do believe in the long-term story and the value meals that they're putting in place because of inflation, then as a portfolio manager, you might say, hey, it's down 8% or so. I think it was down 8% on the news. I'll buy it.
So
So
this is,
yeah. So
no,
those
I'm
are
just
kind
saying,
of
this is,
opportunities.
Yeah, and this is when we try to teach our kids a little bit about investing. You know, I was talking to my son and saying like, "Well, if you know, what are your favorite companies? What are things that you would love that you think are amazing that you wish you owned some of?" And he would be like, "Well, McDonald's and Amazon."
There you go.
Those two
Not
things he
bad.
loves.
Yeah,
Yeah.
great. That's
Okay,
so
so maybe it's
good.
a good opportunity to say, "Okay, so then why don't you pro like learn a little bit about the market?" And
Yes.
yeah.
And so interestingly as well, Melissa, if people remember the food scare that happened with Chipotle years and years ago,
Right. I do remember
that
that.
really took a toll on the company, the stock, the brand, the belief, in even owning the stock, because they had apparently some significant issues in terms of health and safety. And it took time for that company to turn around. And interestingly, one of the stocks I'm also looking at right now is Starbucks, because the CEO that turned Chipotle around after that big mess is now running Starbucks. So it's interesting to take a look at, the CEO that turned Chipotle around after that. He's now at Starbucks. So just kind of, so some of the money, some of the Wall Street money is actually following his move to Starbucks, and wondering if he can turn
Interesting.
that around. Having said that, they did just pre-announce negatively. So they're supposed to report their earnings next week, Starbucks. They pre-announced, so they're just it's called kitchen sinking. Kitchen sinking the quarter. This is what it is. It's not great. And then they'll host the conference call next week. They'll come out and probably talk a little bit about their plans for the future for Starbucks. So just one to watch. But an aside, as it relates to kind of these CEOs that move around and scandals within healthcare. Interestingly, though, many analysts on McDonald's have come out and said that this is not a Chipotle situation, that they were very, very quick to act and react. So that's interesting. And just to point out as well, Melissa, so this occurred in 10 states. This news I got to a day ago. 10 states, 49 cases, 10 in hospital, one death. But what I read this morning was that the issue with the onions is actually spread to other food chains.
Yeah, because I'm sure they supply other places.
Yeah.
So just don't eat onions
Don't eat onions.
right now.
Okay. So just a quick here in terms of the market, I would say, if you recall last week when we did this, I said that the US markets, we kind of talk about them separately, right? Because they're composed very differently, US versus Canada. Remember, with Canada having much more commodity exposure, energy companies, gold, big banks, telecom, US having many more healthcare companies, consumer, tech. It's much more broader of a market and broader of an economy. That's why we talk about them separately. Last week, I said that the US markets had been up 6 weeks in a row. Huge performance. Not the case this week. Monday through Wednesday, both in the United States and Canada, the markets were choppy and trading lower. So choppy trading just means almost directionless, like up, down, sideways versus straight up. So, not bad, not good. Very much in focus, of course, is the earnings. So these companies, all these publicly traded companies, report their most recent results on a quarterly basis. So that's what we're in the midst of right now. And the takeaways have been mixed. Some results are better than expected, some are worse than expected. I don't think there's any major theme to tell you about. Tesla was a standout, though. I will point that out. And as we know, I did buy it a couple of weeks ago. So the stock rallied. They actually beat earnings expectations. And when I say earnings expectations, there are analysts that are hired by all the various investment banks, and they all say, this is what I think they're going to earn. And somebody else will say, this is what I think they're going to earn. And they're very close in terms of their expectations. But interestingly, Tesla beat all of their expectations by about 20%. Yeah. Big beat. That's a big beat. So the stock did rally on the back of that. It is still down, though, by about, I think, 14% on a year-to-date basis. So as we've talked about, there's been a lot of volatility in that stock. But importantly as well, I've mentioned to you that companies, when they report their earnings, they talk about their future expectations. And then the analysts bake all those expectations in and then come out with earnings, what they think the profit will be, right? You have your revenue, you have all your expenses. What do you earn bottom line? And that's what the stock trades off of. Other things as well. But anyway, the company management said that they're expecting 20 to 30% delivery growth in 2025. The company's also expecting the lower priced model to launch in the first half of 2025. And you'll love this one. The full self-driving vehicles, they expect to be safer than humans in Q2 and Q3, second quarter, third quarter of 2025.
Wow. You know, like I was telling you this. So I have a Tesla and I got a notification that for the next month for free, I have access to the self-driving capability of the
All
car.
right.
So the question is, am I going to use it? And I have to say, like, and it's always like anything new is always intimidating, but I'm a bit scared because even though sometimes computers can be safer, we have this idea that when we're in control, it feels safer. So I'm nervous to do it. I'm also nervous, like, you know, just trusting it and starting it and how does it work? And maybe I should try it on a back road first. And, you know, so I think they have to get people over that hump of just trying it, you know, like I am going to when I get back from Paris
But you can do this right now, Melissa.
right now. In
You
my
should
car.
wait. Why don't we do it together?
Okay. Okay.
Me, the non-trusting one,
Let's do
but
it.
I
You
bought the
know, I'm
stock.
like,
What's
let's
that?
totally do it because it is one of those things that I'm sure it probably, but this is another thing. Like every now and then I'll be driving my car and it'll be like, back camera blocked. Well, if the back camera's blocked, how can the car see it? Or, you know, like, I just don't know. And like, does that mean that, like, I can override it, like if I get nervous. I'm even afraid sometimes to use the automatic, what do you call it? Like the cruise control sometimes.
Oh yeah. I've never used cruise control.
Exactly. You
Maybe we
know?
should do cruise control first. Think so.
Yeah, I'll pick you up.
Well, let's I want to see this. I'm going to see it
Let's do
first.
it. Let's do it together.
Okay, we'll do it
Okay.
together.
All right.
So also just with respect to the market right now, kind of just the big picture, and I want us to kind of, the market is always a story and you can always pick it up. But it's easier almost if you kind of continue to know what's going on. So as I said, we're in the midst of earnings season. The big tech companies are going to be reporting next week. So that's always, people are always watching that. Also, we've got the US jobs numbers next Friday. So US always reports their jobs numbers, so non-farm payrolls on the first Friday of every month. Next week, we'll also hear about the US GDP, third quarter GDP. That'll be on Wednesday, and then inflation data on Thursday. So a lot of economic data coming out of the United States next week. I would also just say from a, the market, which has been rallying, as you know, the bull case, so the positive case, the bull case, is that we'll have a soft economic landing, which we seem to be getting. We've got rates that are declining. We've talked about the central bankers that have been pulling back rates. Manufacturing is improving. It's still not great at all, but it's improving. The bear case, of course, geopolitical tensions, two wars. We also have the elections coming up very soon, and the fiscal debt. So that's on the US side. And then as it relates to Canada, I'd say that we've been down 4 days in a row on the TSX. Retail sales for August came in below expectations. Now we are almost in November, so why is Canada? It's a bit of a pet
Yeah.
peeve for me. So late in getting our data.
Yeah. Why are they telling us for
August,
August when it's not? Yeah.
right? It's not up to par. Not up to par. But the big news this week, of course, is that the Bank of Canada, our central bank, did lower interest rates by a half a percentage point or 50 basis points. So we are now at 3.75%. So obviously they think that there's real strain in the economy. I think many people would say that households are actually in a recession here in Canada. We know that inflation has really impacted housing and food costs. And in fact, rent is still up by about 8.2%. So it's still very difficult, I think, for Canadians. And to add on to that, Melissa, something that came out in the news this week is that they are also going to be charging anybody who has a condo that they rent for Airbnb. I don't know if people have seen this. They're going to be charging HST, so 13%. So if you do short-term rentals on a condo to help pay for your mortgage, If you go to sell it, so say if it's $1 million, there's $103,000 HST. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, walk me through this again so I understand. First of all, I thought you weren't allowed to do Airbnb anymore on short-term rentals.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's by municipality. I'm not sure. I'm not an Airbnb expert.
So explain this to me. So let's say you own a condo and or and then you put it on Airbnb and then you collect money for that.
Right.
What are you saying you have to pay HST on? Who has to pay
When you
HST?
sell it, when you go to sell it,
When you
because
go to
it's been
sell your.
used, yeah, apparently it's been used as a commercial use,
Oh my gosh, that's going to
like a
put further
hotel.
strain on the real estate market.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't that going to make even less people inclined to buy condos and rental
Possibly.
property?
Yeah, like I mean, less inclined. And also it's almost as though, not even changing the rules of the game, but you can't have to know, you have to have some basic rules, right? And that's been one of the issues, I think, for so many businesses and people and families. The tax code is so large here, and then everybody just tries to find other ways to do it, and then you have to hire more accountants and pay more people to do it. It should be much more simple, much more simple. And this is one example of just telling you how it's not simple. And a lot of people want to build their wealth through real estate, and they have to be able to rent it. Now you can rent long term, but it's a very interesting article, and it caught somebody by surprise, obviously.
Yeah.
This was a
I
case.
will
This was a
say,
case
just
that
from
went through.
driving around the city, I don't know if you notice it in your area, but there are so many houses for sale, it seems. I just see a lot of houses for sale and a lot of stuff not selling. And it's hard to know if it's because people are just waiting further for interest rates to go down or this mansion tax or whatever, and that now you have to pay on properties worth a certain amount. Or is it that people feel pinched that they have to sell because they need money?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, you have to think about these things when you're driving around and you're seeing all these for sale signs
Yeah.
and when we have a shortage of housing. So it's kind of like
Absolutely.
makes you think about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that at the end of the day, you have to have, a very strong and confident middle class, and you have to have a country that's aspirational, like inspirational and aspirational. And when that something like that happens, and you've worked hard, and you thought you're going to be able to make a return and just be able to rent it to help carry it,
Yeah.
it's something very significant to be mindful of. Okay, moving on. So sorry, with the TSX as well. So that was something interesting. BOC, as I said, did lower rates. Hopefully that eases some of the pain. We do have GDP in Canada next Thursday of next week. So we'll get US and Canadian GDP. And then lastly, Trudeau did say that he's going to stay the Liberal leader until the next election. Don't know if you
Does this
saw that.
surprise you?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
No. Come on. What did you think he's going to say? All right, guys. I'm done. We're good.
No,
Oh, who's he going to say that he's going to stay the Liberal leader?
keep buckling up, buckle up your wallet as well. Okay, moving on. Classroom today. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm curious, what's the resting heart rate?
Okay, so your resting heart rate is your heart rate when you're at rest. So when you're just sitting here like we are, not exercising, a normal resting heart rate is said to be, and this is for an adult, not a child, 60 to 100 beats per minute. Okay, so an easy way to do it is if you take, wrap your hand around your wrist and you feel your radial pulse, which lines up with your thumb, and you count the beats in a 10-second period. And then times by six for a minute, that's your resting heart rate.
Or I can just go on my Aura.
Or you just wear your ring or your Apple Watch or your whatever
Okay.
it is. I'm
So
old
60 to
school.
100 does one. So, but what do I want it to be, Melissa? I'm assuming I want it to be low.
Yeah. So they say that the more in shape cardiovascularly you are, the lower your heart rate's going to be because it means that your heart is strong. So it doesn't have to pump as often, right? It pumps efficiently. And so it has
Okay.
to do it less often. So you can have some very well-trained athletes who have a normal resting heart rate of 40, and that's not a cause for concern because it makes sense why their heart rate's so low.
Wow.
Now,
Okay.
certain things are going to affect your resting heart rate, certain medications. So for people that take drugs for blood pressure, a drug called like a beta blocker, that's going to lower your resting heart rate. Other people that take stimulant drugs, let's say for ADHD, or yeah, that's probably the bet one of the better
Okay.
examples, that could raise your heart rate. If you are anxious, that's going to activate your sympathetic nervous system. That's going to raise your heart rate. If you have
Okay.
a fever,
Oh.
then your heart rate can be raised. So those are
Okay.
certain, and obviously when you work out, you're no longer resting heart rate. Now we're looking at your heart
Right.
rate when you exercise. And that's when you're going to look at things like your target heart rate or your maximum heart rate and that sort
Okay.
of thing. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, it's funny because this Oura Ring as well, again, says that my heart is aligned with my age. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I want a better heart than my age. So I'm gonna
Yeah. So what is your resting heart rate on a normal?
let me look. I think it's around 66.
That's great.
Well,
Yeah, that's good. So I mean, it's one of
need
these
more.
things, like, does the number really, like, are people gonna, oh, I want to get it to 65 next month? Like, I don't really
Yeah.
pay attention to that, like minutia like that. But when
Okay.
I do look at it, if something's an outlier, it makes me a little bit take pause and like, why would this be? You know?
Okay. Yeah.
There's something called atrial fibrillation, when the heart rate is not beating, it's fibrillating, meaning it's so it's going a bit faster and a little bit irregularly. That's something that, you know, is something that you need to go to the hospital or get treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
Okay.
good to keep an eye on your resting heart rate, just
Yeah.
in general sense of what it is.
Yeah,
And
all
it
these
makes sense that
things.
it's aligned with your age, because if you think about your target heart rate at the gym, the way you calculate max heart rate is 220 minus your age. Have you ever heard that equation before?
No, what is that?
So to calculate your max heart rate, it's 220 minus your age. So if you're 40, it's going to be 180 would be your max heart rate, and you might want to work out at 70% of your, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh.
So when it's saying it makes sense in your age, you do have to take age into consideration.
So, but if so, does that mean then for my goal at the gym should be 220,
That's your
right?
max heart minus your age is max. You don't want to go below
Minus
that.
my age, but I could actually work out that hard to get my pulse up. Is that what you mean?
So that's how you figure out. Some people do that and they see how long you can work out at your max heart rate as an indication of your overall cardiovascular fitness.
Okay.
But, you know, to see how long you can work out at that maximal rate. But in a general sense, you want to work out. It depends on what your goal is, whether you're in zone one. And this is a big topic. We can go to this on another conversation. But if you've
Okay.
heard of these terms like zone one, zone two workout, zone three, I don't know if you've heard
Yeah.
about this. Peter Attia talks about zone workouts in his book Outlive.
Oh.
It depends on what percent of your max heart rate you're working out at. You know,
Okay.
so like let's say you take your pulse. Like when you work out, have you ever taken note of it, what it's like?
No.
So if I put my hands on the bike or on what, you know,
Yeah.
sometimes it calculates heart, sometimes I'll be at like 120. Okay.
Okay.
So if I go 220 minus my age, I mean, I'm only 20, so that would be 200.
I
Yeah, right. But anyhow, so that could be like 60% of my max heart rate or 70%. Anyhow, you get the gist.
Got it.
So yeah.
Okay, I always think those things on the those handlebar things don't read it correctly. Do you think they do?
I do. I mean, it depends
Oh.
on the machine and it depends on the, but yeah, they do.
Okay. Okay. I'm
Yeah.
gonna try that. I'm gonna try that for next week. I'm gonna figure this out a little bit
Okay.
more. But we should have a longer conversation about that because I think it's, you know, if you're gonna work out, and I know there's different thoughts now and different ages where you just really want to do weight training, but I still really wanna, you know, do different aspects for my cardio. Like I've been swimming a lot. I want to get back on the ice rink because that's a totally different cardio. Like for me to skate around the rink fast. For
Oh,
5 minutes
yeah.
is a killer. It's a
Yes,
killer.
because that's activating your quads. First of all, doing exercise you're not used to doing every day. So that's going to fire new muscles. But also, like to push off when you skate, you're using the biggest muscles in your body. You're using your quads and your glutes. And so
Oh.
obviously, you're going to get a better workout than, let's say, when you're just, you know,
Yeah.
walking. Yeah. So another thing also is like, when we talked about this before, like, there's this big thing like, oh, how many steps a day do you get in steps a day? Well, there, I always tell people like, there, a step is not just a step. Okay. Some
Yeah.
people, when I walk, and if you ever come, some of my friends will complain about this when they go for a walk with me. I walk fast. Like, some of
Do
my friends
you?
don't like to walk with me. Yeah, because I speed walk and I walk quite fast. So when I get my steps in, my heart rate is getting elevated. But then you'll see some people that when, let's say, they're walking their dog, if they're counting that as their steps for their day and it hasn't really gone above their resting heart rate, they're still just resting outside with the dog. You know
Interesting.
what I'm
So
saying?
they're not really improving their
Right.
cardiovascular system.
Right. And there is correlations between longevity, how long you live, and the pace that you walk.
Interesting.
Faster you walk, they've shown studies that it tends to be the longer you live and the more, yeah, fit you
We've got a lot of work to
are. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it's a good thing. Definitely get out there. Definitely get your steps in. But
Yeah.
remember that if you're not sweating a little bit, working up a bit of a sweat, then you're not burning calories, because burning calories is translate is transforming energy into heat, and that's why you sweat, right? So if you're
Yeah.
not working up a little bit of a sweat, then you're probably not doing much.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So we got the resting heart rate and more on fitness, but we'll do a deeper dive into fitness for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm gonna try that 220 minus my age, which I won't say, and see what I can do.
Yeah, and then see where you're at. Yeah.
Okay.
And another thing, talking about fitness and sports, I don't know if you saw that study come out, or I don't know, I think people were talking about it on social media, correlating the different sports with how long you live. And I think there's a clip that's going around about Elon Musk talking about people that play racket sports, so tennis or pickleball, are the longest living compared
Yeah.
to people sports. It puts an additional like 8 years onto their
Yes.
lifespan. So it depends on what were the top sports in that. So racket sports were number one.
Yeah, I did see that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, other
Love it.
ones,
Keep the tennis
swimming,
and
I think
pickleball
tennis.
up. So Melissa, too, you wanted to mention we're coming up into the cold and flu season.
Yes, we are. And it seems like everybody has a different virus. Like, I've had so many patients come into the office that are sick, a lot of kids missing school that are sick. I mean, this is the season because we're starting to shift indoors more. So, spending more time indoors in close proximity to other people. Kids are back at school, people are at work, we're less outside. So, we get more viruses this time of year. Whereas in warmer climates, like in Florida, it's opposite, right? So, in the summer, when it's so hot there, then
Yeah.
people are spending more indoors. That's why their COVID peak used to be in the summer and ours is in the winter. But anyhow, that's for another
So
topic.
what are you telling patients to do?
So, it's hard. People always wonder, like, is this a cold or is this a flu or is this pneumonia? So it's hard to know the difference between symptoms because there's a lot of overlap. So generally speaking, a higher fever tends to happen more with the flu and with pneumonia. Whereas less of a fever or more low grade tends to be virus or a cold, but that's not always the case. Runny nose, scratchy throat, a little bit of a dry cough tends to be viral cold. Whereas if you have a very sore throat and don't have a cough, that can make it seem like it might be strep throat. Anyway, there's all these different things that you can talk to your doctor about and how to know, but most of the time it's viruses that we're dealing with.
Okay.
So what can you do? Well, wash your hands, obviously, because that can help. And cover your mouth if you cough, or cover your mouth, nose, or cough, or your sneeze. If you're not feeling well, try not to be around too many people. And there are some vaccines out there. We have the new COVID, updated COVID vaccine that's available now for people. You can inquire with your pharmacist whether you're eligible. And you can talk to your doctor about whether you want to get that this year. We also have flu shots that are coming out now. So, a lot of family doctor's offices are getting the flu shot in, or the pharmacy. And if you're over 65, there's a higher dose flu shot that you want to get as opposed to the regular flu shot. So the flu shot is one of the shots we still do annually, and it's important to get it every year because they look at what strains they think are going to be active this year. They don't always get it 100% right, but it might be a different one than last year. There's another virus that you may have heard of called RSV that
Yeah.
has caused a lot of, cold symptoms, but it tends to be associated with more inflammation, like a really bad mucusy kind of
Oh.
cough that lingers. And it's, for kids and for the elderly, it can lead to illness that needs hospitalization and
Oh
even
my
death
God.
sometimes. So there is a vaccine for RSV. You can talk to your doctor about it. You have to get a prescription for it. It's called Arexvy, but if you're over the age of 60, you may want to consider, and that's not annual. That's like a one time right now. And that's not one of the new mRNA vaccines like the COVID shots. It's more just like a regular
Okay, so
vaccine. And no.
it's
And
not
one
that.
more point about
Yeah.
this. People always worry, like, and they'll say to me all the time, every time I get the flu shot, I get the flu. So that is a myth. It's
Is
19. It's a myth. The flu shot is inactive virus. It cannot give you the flu.
Okay.
It's just dead virus that's just triggering an immune response to help you recognize that virus in case you're exposed to it, so your body knows how to deal with it. So it might feel like that way because maybe temporally related to getting the flu shot because it is cold and flu season, you might have encountered another virus.
For
But
sure.
I do take my flu shot yearly, but also I'm in the healthcare field, right? So I'm
Right.
exposed to people that are sick. And so,
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's just a
I've
little
only taken
update
it
with
one, I've only
that.
done it once. I've done it once,
You've
a
only
flu
done the flu
shot
shot once.
in the States, and I did get sick, and then I was like, I'm never doing it again.
See, and that's the thing. And people are like, I know it got me sick. And
It
but
was
like,
the worst flu I ever had.
yeah, that's so it's funny because I had the opposite experience. So I remember getting the flu badly. Like this was in my 20s, and I was really sick for a week. I had like high fever. I had complete muscle aches. Like with this flu, like I wasn't getting out of bed. Whereas, when you have a cold, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't feel my best, but I can still,
Yeah.
go to work. I can still function. Whereas when you have a flu and you've got body aches and you feel awful and you're in bed, like you don't, those are the days you call in sick. That's often one
Right.
way to tell the difference between cold and flu. But I was so bad that after that, I'm like, I'm getting the flu shot. So I had the different experience, right?
Opposite. Opposite for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Listen, one of the things I wanted to talk about as well, if you recall, I think it was last week, we looked at all the various asset classes. So we've got equities, we've got fixed income, we've got cash, we've got commodities, we've got currencies, we've got crypto, we have alternative assets, which would encompass venture capital, private equity, and collectibles. And so when I say asset classes, I mean those are all the various places you can choose to invest. It's a huge shopping list.
So, where you can choose to park your money,
Yes.
hoping to grow it.
Correct.
These different things that you can buy that you're hoping will increase in value.
Yes.
Okay.
Making having your money make you money as opposed to
Got
just
it.
sitting in your savings account earning nothing, essentially.
Yep.
So I wanted to just kind of continue to break this down a little bit and just talk about equities. So equities is obviously one of the asset classes. And within equities, I just wanted to point out because we can talk about all these stocks which we do and I want to do, but I also think it's important to understand as I bring this up, what sectors they fall into. So it's important to understand that within the economy, so the market, the stock market, which are shares of companies, so equities, stocks, shares, those words are all interchangeable, that they all fall into different categories. So in other words, on the TSX as an example, we have the financials. So those would be your banks, some of your banks and insurance companies. So the Royal Bank, TD, Bank of Nova Scotia, that so financials would be one sector. Energy is another sector. What fits into energy? There's a company called Canadian Natural Resources, an oil company, Suncor Energy, and Enbridge. You may have heard of those companies. Then you also have materials. What's in materials? Gold, and ag. So you've got Barrick Gold, you've got Nutrien, and you've got Teck Resources. Again, there are more companies than that, but this is just an example. And then you have industrials. What falls into industrials? Rails, so railways like Canadian National Railway, Loblaws is also in industrials, and then Bombardier. Then we have consumer discretionary. What fits into that? Canadian Tire. Then you have consumer staples, Alimentation Couche-Tard and Saputo. And then you have healthcare. And then you have information technology, so Shopify and Constellation's software. Then you have telecom, BCE and Rogers. And then you have utilities, Fortis and Hydro One, and real estate. So I just want to point it out that when you think about companies, I always am like, okay, well, what do I really think of the sector right now? Or sometimes I look at the sector first and I think, okay, what looks interesting? Does energy look interesting to me? And if it does, then I say, okay, well, within energy, what might I want to own? Maybe I just own the sector ETF, right? In the States, it's the XLE. That's one ETF that represents the energy sector. So XLI in the States would be industrial. So you can own the sector as an ETF. Remember, ETFs are exchange traded funds. They represent a basket of companies. Or if I want to own a company specific story, I can go and look at a specific company within a sector.
Right. Yes, you can.
That's, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Whereas
Yes, you
for
can.
me, that's I like to understand the sector so I can be a intelligent part of a conversation when I'm at a dinner party or I'm at a dinner table and people are talking about this. I like to have knowledge of what they are so I can understand what people are talking about. And then it allows me to read articles and understand things in a different light, knowing some of that lingo. For me, I mean, I don't necessarily think about what sector do I want to own now. Within those, I think to myself, I don't want to be too only in one sector and not looking at the others. So for me, when I look at what I own in those sectors, I think to myself, I do like banks. I think Canadian banks are a good investment just because they've been around so long and we don't have. There's not that many here compared to the US where there's tons. They're very stable. They pay a dividend. And so I like, and which bank do I like? And then, when you look at energy and Enbridge, again, that would be a good dividend paying stock. And then for me, it was Shopify. So I'll tell you my Shopify story why I liked it. So
You own it now?
I do, and I've owned it for years. I'm trying to think how many. Well, at least I can tell you why I bought it because I have a diet program called The Good Diet. I'd written two books previously, diet books, the Hirschberg Diet and the Rebel Diet. And then I came up with a program called The Good Diet that people could buy online and that I sell foods with it. Because in phase one, I provide you the shake for breakfast, the soup for lunch, and a snack bar, and then you make your own dinner. So I had to find a way to sell this to people. So if you're creating your own business, you use a platform like Shopify. So you set up your site on Shopify and it's e-commerce. It allows people to go on my Shopify site, purchase the Good Diet, and allows me to ship. And I thought to myself, well, I think it was around the time of COVID. I'm like, all these people are starting their own business. Everybody's trying to have a side hustle. And to start your own business, you need to use something like Shopify. And once you start it, you don't shut it down, right? And so I'm like,
Really?
well, I still have my Shopify, I still have my the
Shop.
gooddietplan.com is on Shopify. And I also like the fact that when I order a lot of things online, it's a guilty pleasure. And sometimes what stops me from placing the order is the pain in the butt to go find my credit card. So as soon as I have to go fill in my information, if it doesn't like auto-populate, right away, I often forget about it. So they have Shop Pay. So Shop Pay is owned by Shopify. And you'll notice now every time you make an online order, it will say, do you want to use Shop Pay? So anyhow,
Interesting.
I like Shopify. So that's why I bought it
So
because again,
interesting.
it's something that I understand. I use it. And we talk about what edge do you have? Women were consumers. So what edge do we have? And I think that's a good segue into LVMH. Let's talk about it. I'm in Paris. I was walking down Avenue Montaigne. I'm probably like butchering the pronunciation of that street, but it's where they have like a lot of like high-end stores. And I turn to my left and I see LVMH. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the corporate headquarters
Oh,
I think is right on that
yeah.
street. And then I walk past their Louis Vuitton store and it's so cool. I don't know if it's going to become like beside the store, there's like this whole metallic L like Louis Vuitton monogrammed building
Nice.
that I think is going to become some sort of, I don't know if it's becoming a hotel or what it is. Anyhow, it's cool. I'll post a picture of
Nice.
it, but let's talk about the stocks.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So LVMH is the ticker, and it's a French conglomerate, and it is one of the largest luxury conglomerates in the world. And it's interesting how many brands they own, how many brands they've bought. So Christian Dior, Celine, Fendi, Tiffany, Givenchy, Gucci, Bulgari, Tag, Dom Perignon, Moët Hennessy. Those are just some of the names that they own. And so it's obviously very high-end luxury. And the stock is up 66% over the past 5 years, but it is down 8% over the past year. And the revenue, they just reported their quarterly earnings, and the revenue did come in below analyst expectations. And so there's a lot of negative analyst commentary on the stock right now, Melissa. And it really stems from concerns about the high-end luxury consumer tightening their purse strings, and in particular, weak China demand. And and that's been the case for a long time. China's always been, and Chinese tourists have always been a big player in purchasing these luxury items for years. I mean, I used to cover specialty retail and e-commerce back in the late 90s at William Blair, and we always were looking at what the China sales were, always in New York City. So if travel wasn't happening for whatever reason, it would absolutely affect Tiffany's sales. Tiffany used to be a publicly traded company that I covered. And so anyway, the China factor and effect is very real, and China has been slowing down. So when we talk about the economy and why do I care about Q3 or GDP in the States or in Canada, I do care about it, and I'm also always listening and watching about what's going on in China and overseas, because it affects companies like an LVMH. And so the Chinese government has been trying to stimulate their economy. I don't think it's taken in very significant hold yet. And so I think that it will still have a bit of an impact on LVMH. Now you could say, does that mean, there's an opportunity to buy the stock here? And to be truthful, I have to get another report on it. Like I have to do more digging on it. But I think it's, as a basis to understand that the luxury goods sector has been negatively hit. China's a factor. Mercedes came out, their third qu quarter car numbers plunged. So they're citing again weak China demand and fierce competition. So I think that, so I'm personally not really ready to step in and buy a high-end luxury good company, but I think it's worth doing more digging.
Who is it? Who's the quote? Is it Buffett that has the quote, "Be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy"?
I don't know if that's his quote, but yes, I do know that quote.
Yeah. So like I think like with LVMH, like so the way I came to know of it isn't necessarily through Louis Vuitton, is that I have, preteen daughters, and the
Right.
amount and they're obsessed with Sephora.
Right.
And every time I go to Sephora, it is so busy and people are spending so much money. Like every girl I know, if you go into Sephora, you leave there and you're like, oh my God, how did I end up spending hundreds of dollars on? Like you walk into Sephora and you see all the sparkly, pretty colors and the smells, and something happens to a woman's brain. And it's like, oh, if I buy this, I'm gonna be the dream person who I imagine. Then you come home, you're like, I already have this shade and I can get. But
So
anyhow,
true.
Sephora is a gold mine and
And they
LVMH
own
owns
Sephora.
it.
I forgot to say
And they
that.
own Sephora. And so I was
Yes.
like, I need to own Sephora. And I looked it
Oh,
up.
yeah.
Is Sephora publicly traded? And I found out that Sephora is owned by LVMH. When it comes to, for me, I mean, yes, I obviously China is a fact, I'm sure is a factor. It's not something I can touch and feel, but I will say that I think for like the aspirational consumer, for people that aren't like uber wealthy, but rather when they have extra money in their pocket, they want to buy a luxury bag because it feels good, but they can't afford to just do it willy-nilly. I think they're losing those shoppers. Like even if I look at like my friends and people, I think because people can still afford the necessities, your like you say, like your groceries, your Costco, your mortgage, but the amount left over in people's pocket doesn't allow you to then go throw, 5 grand for a bag, especially when the dupes, which is the lingo meaning like fakes, like the
Oh, I
fake,
didn't know
call them, yeah, like all the young people call fakes dupes. That's like
that.
duplicates. Okay. The dupes are so good. And I wonder if that's an issue. Like the dupes are so good. Like when you see people with a luxury bag now, you're like, is it real?
Wow,
I
I
don't
never
know.
even,
And
I didn't know that there were that many out there.
there's so many consignment stores. Like if you go in Yorkville now or all around, you can buy a secondhand bag. So a lot of people are like, and they've raised the prices of these luxury bags so high now that it's like, do I really want to spend that when I can get, secondhand one, or I can get, a dupe? So I don't know. It's just something where it's where I think of. I mean, that
So
being
let me just
said.
also mention this too. Like I'm always a big person on valuation as well, and we haven't really gotten into that as it relates to stocks yet, but I'll just bring it up. I don't think we have. I'll bring it up right now. So LVMH, it trades at 22 times. It's a PE, so the price of the stock over the earnings equals 22. So the price is 626 euro. I think it's in euro. I'm not sure what's in. 22 times is the PE. And so that's trading around the market. Now, for me, I want to go back and I want to look at, does it trade at a significant premium to the market? Does it normally trade at a discount to the market? These are the questions that I'll be asking myself, if that
Which
makes
is
sense.
what I'd love for you to educate. Like, this is what somebody that has like a CFA background or sorry, a finance background will understand how to value a stock like that. Whereas some other people might be like, I just want it,
And so any portfolio manager is always looking at the valuation. Like, is it worth it at this price for me? Like you would, as you just did with the bag, right? Is it really worth it? Exact same
There you
thing for
go.
stocks. So
Yeah.
I'll pick a good example of that for next time. Maybe it'll be LVMH, but maybe something else, because I am looking at Starbucks, and Starbucks has been under a lot of pressure. So, I want to look and see, how does Starbucks fare today versus historically? And how does it compare to the market? And is it a good deal at this level? And do I think that the company CEO can turn it around? Or do they have too many stores? And is the product too expensive? These are all the questions that I would be asking myself as I delve into it. So Starbucks, their PE is 27 times. So it still might not be cheap enough for me. But it's a function of the price of the stock, and it's a function of the earnings. So just as an example, if the price of the stock is $20 or $10 and the earnings are 2, 10 over 2, 10 divided by 2 is 5. So your PE is 5.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
So if the price of the stock goes to 20,
But the earnings are still down.
yes. So then now my PE is 10.
Doesn't make sense, right?
You're paying more for it. The stock's run up. The stock went from five from to I said five. What did I say? I said 10 to 20. So the
Yeah.
stock went from $10 to $20, and the earnings stayed the same. The PE, the price I have to pay for the earnings, jumped up.
So why would that happen? What, that's more like speculative
No,
or
no, no. It's because people say
more
that,
like
well, they're gonna earn even more. The earnings are too low.
the speculation.
Pardon? It's not speculation. Well, that's what everything is when you look at the stocks. You're always paying for forward earnings. You're not
Right.
really paying for right now. You're
Right.
paying for what I think they're going to earn. When I buy Tesla,
Right.
I'm paying for what I think Tesla's going to be earning in the future. And that's
Right.
really what the valuations represent in many ways. It's future it's expectations of future earnings.
Right. Live in the moment, baby.
The moment. Okay, that's a lot on that. That's too much on that, but we're going to delve into it, because but we'll do a full-on deep dive into one stock.
Yeah.
Okay, what else are we talking about today? We are talking about, on your end, we did the cold and vaccines, and we did the heart rate, and I think we were going to do a little bit of Uber. So this is one other stock I'm just looking at. Okay, so a very interesting portfolio manager said to me, he owns Uber, and he said, just look at your credit card bill and how many
It's all
times
Uber.
it's all Uber.
It's all Uber. It's all Apple. It's all, yeah, this is what it is.
So do you own Uber?
I do.
Oh.
I do. It makes it sound like I own everything. I don't
I
own
know,
everything,
I
but
know.
I own things that I use because it's the only thing I know. I do own Uber.
Okay.
And actually, I bought Uber for a funny reason. I bought Uber also around the time of, I think it was around COVID, because I was impressed by Uber Eats.
Oh,
And I don't even
okay.
know if that's relevant to how the stock does, but
Well, okay, but again, but so it's
I
interesting.
just was like, you could Uber everything. You know that I use Uber Package all the time. So when I
What's
have to send
that?
things, because I own different clinics, right, that do injections. So I have, my wellness house, but I also have, and my U Health clinic, but I also have these Botox and filler clinics called Freeze Fill Glow that I'm a part of. So sometimes I have to transfer things between clinics. So I don't want to drive all the way there and drive all the way
Right.
back. So I use Uber Package. So Uber Package, they just, the Uber comes, I give them the thing, and then they deliver it. So you can use Uber Grocery, Uber Package, Uber Eats, and then call an Uber. And you know what? Even in France now, in Paris here, it's such a, okay, so I was at like major touristy Champs-Élysées, area, and I was going to hop in a taxi. And the guy told me, oh, yeah, it's 50 euros to take me back to my hotel. Okay. I'm like, no way. So I look on Uber, 11. So you don't
Wow.
gouge you. Yeah. And you have the Uber's like everywhere now, other than Winnipeg, where I'm from. I don't think they have Uber
Oh.
yet. Maybe they do have it now. I don't know.
Maybe it's coming.
Yeah.
Well, so interestingly, over the past week or so, maybe 2 weeks, there was comments out there that they might be interested in buying Expedia, so travel. So
Oh.
yeah, so there were comments about that. So I don't know the latest in that right now. There's also in September there was an announcement between Waymo and Uber that they are going to bring the ride hailing app, so Uber, to Austin and one other place that they're so that Waymo is going to use Uber's
What's
app.
Waymo?
Self-driving vehicles.
That's what this is called, Waymo?
Yeah.
Okay. So I could understand merge, not merge, I don't know what the right word is. I could understand something between, I see envision Tesla and Uber joining forces and all in being, but
That
wouldn't,
I don't
I
think
mean,
they're
Uber
opposed
kind
to
of
that.
has to own self, because self-driving, because Uber depends on drivers. So once you no longer have and need the Uber driver, then really they're just what, a fleet of cars? What is Uber then?
What do you mean?
Well, once you have self-driving capability, you're just going to be calling the car, not their Uber driver. Like, you don't need the driver anymore.
You don't need the driver, but yeah, you're right. But you need a fleet.
You
You
need a
need a
fleet of
fleet of cars.
cars.
Yeah.
So now, where are you getting your cars? Because all of a sudden, right now, Uber depends on the driver who owns their vehicle and uses it. But if you don't need the driver anymore, you just need a fleet of cars, in which case, what's going to be there? Yeah, that makes sense. They need a self-driving vehicle. And
Yeah.
that will be crazy when that happens, because so many people's jobs depend on Uber. There
I
are so
know.
many people that make money, that Uber employ, that make money as an Uber driver.
I know.
Like, it's wild. Like,
Yes, I
so
know. I think there's still time for them to transition, obviously,
but they
right?
gotta get ahead of that. Yeah.
Yes, yep, the individuals who are Uber drivers for sure. So I thought that was interesting. That's apparently happening in 2025 that they're going to be launching this in Austin. And then also sorry, but just go back to the travel thing. It's interesting to see if people would use Uber to book their flights, to book their hotels.
But why do you need Uber for that? Like, I feel like the app is so
All on the
bureaucratic.
same app. But you're right. Do you need it? No.
No, I mean, I probably won't. I mean, that being said, I use Google Flights. So I used to use, like, let's say I used to, like, when I was looking up flights, I used to use maybe Expedia. Now I just use Google Flights, to look up,
Yeah.
a flight. But I
But
don't know.
remember when we used Uber, it was first for the driving, then it was for the food, then it's for the packages, and then it's, so that I think they're just building out their suite of offerings, which I think is really interesting, and I think makes the stock very appealing.
And they do they have cash on their back? They probably are doing well. They probably need to.
Well, let's look into more of those fundamentals, because those are the fundamentals. Like, what does the balance sheet look like? What's the income statement? So
Most
I'll do the
definitely.
follow-up on the fundamentals for LVMH and Uber for next week.
Do you ever use Lyft?
No.
I've
Do
used
you?
Lyft a few times. Yeah, I don't like it as much.
No, what's the difference?
Not as reliable. Sometimes I find that the drivers aren't reliable. Maybe it just was the one experience I had that they canceled my ride,
Oh.
and I felt like, I don't know, it felt like just budget compared to, I don't know why. I
Yeah.
know other people that use Lyft a lot.
Right.
And it,
Okay.
I compared prices one time because people generally think that Lyft is going to be cheaper than Uber when you call a Lyft driver, but it wasn't when I was using it for where I was going.
I can only handle so many apps.
Oh, I have so many. I know. Well, that's another good idea. What it's like if you look at your front page, your first page of
Yeah.
your iPhone, the apps that are there are probably companies that you're like, that's a good one. And Uber's
Oh,
on
that's a good
there.
idea. That's a good
Yeah.
idea. That's a good analysis. It's interesting. We'll wrap it at this. But you know what I thought, Melissa, if you're okay with this, I wouldn't mind bringing on an analyst to cover Uber. And that way you can ask all your questions and I can
Sure.
help interpret it because they're doing it every day. I mean, I can do it, but I let me bring on an analyst for 5 minutes next week.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
All right.
Why
We
not?
don't.
You can
Yeah,
learn. I know that's what
okay.
this is about. It's about learning and getting
Yeah.
savvy so we just
Getting.
can, be more informed,
Yeah.
smarter.
Okay. Let's do that.
Dinner party.
What's that?
Be smarter at the dinner party.
Smarter at the dinner parties for sure. For sure. Well, hopefully this helps, right? We talk about the economic data that's coming out, why it's important, what the markets are doing. They're kind of maybe now they're probably just waiting a little bit for the US elections, probably. They're going to see the economic data next week, and then it'll probably be quiet until the elections. I have a feeling.
Yeah.
And all the big tech earnings next week. And then, of course, we got the 50 basis points cut here in Canada, 50 basis points, a half a percentage point. Hopefully, that eases some of the pain that people are feeling on their household level. And
Yeah.
then we've got another tax on Airbnb. And we got to watch out for the cold flu season. And you're in Paris.
And I'm in Paris.
Okay. All right. Shall we sign off?
Yes, I gotta go get ready.
Where are you going tonight? Somewhere fab?
Yeah, we're doing dinner at some place called Lafayette, I think it's called.
Oh.
I don't know. And then I think someone's made a reservation to go dancing afterwards, so that could be
Oh,
fun.
that sounds
We've been
great.
doing theme
Oh.
nights like every night because we've got a bunch of girls together. Like last night we did everybody we had to wear a shade of pink, and tonight we're doing black. And
Nice.
then, so I've got to figure out my outfit. Put my band-aids on my feet
Why?
because of all the high heels and the walking and the I've got blisters and yeah. Anyhow.
Perfect. All right. Well, have fun, be safe, and we'll see everybody next week. I will bring in an analyst.
Perfect. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.